This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Here we are, we're live. It's Thursday. It's the 10th of January already. What the hell is happening to us? Feels like just yesterday was New Year. And that's good to be getting into it, to get stuck into the year. I spoke to someone yesterday who said to me that they are only starting work next week. Lazy pile of shit.
I mean, really.
You gotta get yourself, to work. Some of us have been at it for a whole week already, you know? I mean, Pumi hardly even took a break. We got the burning platform later on today with Canton Pile and Pumi Mashiko. We've got a hell of a lot of interesting stuff coming up for you. It is going to be busy, and this year is going to be busy. Morning, Pumelele. How are you?
Dude, the year's hardly up the starting blocks, and it's already busy.
I know, there's so much to talk about.
Did you
have a holiday? Did you have a break?
A little bit.
Are you bitter about that?
No, you know my thing, right? You know my thing about it's because of my child, right?
Yes.
Who, and our children, unlike us guys, need to be entertained by us.
Which means you're exhausted. But he's sitting outside. You can't really blame him for everything while he's sitting there, can you?
Of course I can. He's my child. He's my spawn. of course I can blame him.
Well,
so we went away a little bit. And this year, for the first time in my life, even though I'm sort of an Italian, right? Mm. I was at the Durban beachfront on the 1st of Jan.
I saw your post. I want to talk about that just now. That's something interesting. I want to talk also about the fact that, and I started this morning's show with this, like there are people who only come back to work at the end of this month. I mean, my sister only gets back from her, in inverted commas, holiday in like a week and a half. I mean, this is unacceptable.
We can't blame people for having their lives in order and having boring jobs that they can take a month away.
I'm horrified. I don't think I've ever had more than 10, 11 days in a row.
I hope people are very grateful, Gareth, that we are out here turning the wheels of the economy. That's what we're doing. While they're on holiday.
Yes, you're lazy bastards, we are busy holding up the economy while you still have your holiday.
Okay.
Spend. Listen, by the way, January is the worst for everybody, and
all 90 days of it.
No one.
Oh, yeah, 40,000 like, days of it.
There's never any money in January. It's so difficult. People struggle. And I see people offering their bodies out on social media.
Who are you following?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Listen, tell me.
People are eating cabbage.
They're eating, yeah.
As a meal these days.
Yes.
Not as
boiled
a side
carrot.
Salad.
Yeah, when you find your stuff that it's at the back of the pantry that's expired and you go, oh, how bad could it really be?
And
like
also,
what's a bit of food poisoning?
I don't mind little dysentery.
And then you walk into the stationery aisle. I saw somebody posted on their Instagram, I think.
Yeah.
Pret glue stick. And it was something ridiculous, like 86 rand.
Yeah.
For one stick.
I'm still a little bit like...
That's horrifying. Let me tell you, being a parent, I mean, you're the only one in the room who can speak about this with any kind of real experience. But this back-to-school stuff, is a... It's a scam. Some schools will not let the kid into the classroom unless he's got his or her stationery bag. And all this stuff that they make a list. And some of that stuff is, I mean, it sounds like it's not expensive. But if you're buying that for two kids or whatever, can you imagine? And you got to buy all this stuff. And then there's the uniform. And then there's the school fees. And then there are the books.
Bona, there's nothing more sobering than getting that like statement from the school in the second week of January. The good thing about stationery, for us at least, is that it was part of like year-end stuff.
So you got it last year. Okay.
Last year or whatever. So that was like, thank God.
Because I saw a headline 2 days ago. I mean, I don't even read the newspapers, but I drove past one of those headline boards around the roads. They said something like parents complain about back to school costs or whatever.
What I am going to complain about is that most like four-term schools and all of those guys went back yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us poor sods Our kids are only going back to school. That's why my children are sitting out there, right? Mm. Are only going back to school next week. Mm. All the money we pay, they couldn't give me that week.
They couldn't give you an extra week what to take it? Them off
They
your
couldn't
hands.
Take them off my hands for
poor you, poor
like,
me.
What the?
And then how long have they been off for?
A month.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. Gareth, I just realized that's not supportive. Our initial reaction was, oh.
Yeah, that is my reaction every morning.
What are you doing for a month? You have played all the games, you have sung all the songs, you have I spied with your little eye.
We have Jenga'd.
Yeah.
How do you keep kids entertained for a whole month?
How did you think your parents kept you entertained?
Oh, our parents did not keep us entertained.
Yeah, I was always...
My point.
They threw something at you and let you play with it until your imagination ran out.
We were always started around...
We entertained our own damn selves, right?
In our family, we were always started around to different family members.
Okay.
You spend a couple of days with your gran.
There were four of you, so you could have always like entertained each other.
Yeah, it's like an organization.
Well,
keep each other.
With four kids, it's more like fight with each other. There'll be a reason to be at each other's throats somehow.
Which can also serve as entertainment for parents.
Huh?
All right, let's just talk about the Durban beachfront, because you posted something really interesting. You know, a lot of people are always amazed and struck by the number of, as you put it in your post, hardworking South Africans who get that one day to go and enjoy something which some of us, you know, consider like the break that we've always craved. And some people get that one day, and that beachfront is just packed with throngs of people who are, and you put the point across, which I think very few people have, because we all look at the numbers and we all look at the problems. We all look at the kids that go missing every year and all of that stuff. But actually, the real story here is these people are enjoying their one day that they get to go and spend relaxing, right?
Gareth, these people are having fun. You know what I actually realized is the snobbery of kind of our media's perspective.
Yeah, and middle-class South Africans on both, you know, across all
colors.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
All middle-class South Africans.
Like, I wouldn't spend the day with all of those people.
Why would I be with all those people? But what
are you talking Christmas Day, New Year's Day particularly?
I was there on New Year's Day. Okay. So I was there on New Year's Day.
Which is apparently the busiest day of all.
Oof.
Dude, I had a meeting in Durban on the 2nd of January, so... What I decided to do was drive down on the 1st in the morning, kind of when the roads are open, and spent the night there, which is why I was at the beachfront on the 1st.
It's the quietest day driving, though, isn't it?
It was. But, you know, it's infectious. Mm-hmm. The kind of joy that people have. It's festive. So what Ukhozi also does is they have this huge festival. I don't know why the festival must be on the same day, but apparently it's the crossover festival, so it starts on the 31st.
Okay.
And they broadcast from there, and then it's a huge party. And but also there are South Africans, there are neighboring Africans, they are, and I can imagine if you come from Malawi and there's no beach in Malawi, you don't want to be at a beach with 10 other people. You want to be in the beach where there are throngs of people.
Yeah.
You want to be where it's all happening. And what clicked in my mind was that it's a little bit like when you go to a club, when you go to that kind of fun experience, you want to have it with other people.
More is more.
You don't want to be there and be the only person there. That's exactly the feeling. And it was so amazing and wonderful to watch. And kids just playing in the sand. Adults who you can see have probably never seen the ocean before. And people who have come with, and there's 20 of them, and it's the whole family, and there's kids of all ages and all the aunts and all the uncles.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was, and that's why, at the risk of sounding like a Bob Marley Uber fan, because I just realized that, oh God, I talked about Bob Marley the last time I was here.
You did. You can't help yourself.
I can't help myself.
Yeah.
But that's why I use that song, you know, that dancing from within, just the joy of life was, and it was such a nice way to start what is going to be a crazy year.
It is going to be a crazy year. Well, one of the things a lot of people are looking forward to this week is the Burning Platform. It's the first of the new year.
Yeah.
There's always stuff to talk about. So that's coming up, brought to you by Nando's a little later on, where we go through some of the big stories of the week. And, of course, for this year, we can look ahead to some of the big stories of the year. And it's going to be a crazy year, as Pumi says, because there is also the looming spectacle of an election.
Mm. Woohoo!
And look, it's only the first full working year, but already it's so politically packed. So much has happened over the past couple of days.
New political parties.
There's fresh air from a Saudi.
I'm not falling.
Did you hear what the... Well, let's save this for later. Okay. I don't want to talk too much. Politics, I've said, it's going to be squeezed into a Thursday, and we're going to do it after 7. So let's not spoil our lives by being political the rest of the time. But there we go. That's quite an interesting discussion about these new parties that have entered the fray. And there are a few of them. We'll find out whether you like them, whether you can't stand them. All of that coming up a little bit later on in the Burning Platform. There's also loads of stuff that I wanted to talk about. We've had some really interesting people on in the last while. And one of them this morning is going to be a guy called Ted Blom, who is an energy advisor. Now, Eskom is obviously something that sits like it looms at the back of our minds, because we've had, since Pravin Wen had his talking to with Eskom, we've had no load shedding. So it shows you that when they are told what to do by their political masters, those Eskom orcs will do what they're told, and they can keep things under control. No, really, because that's what they are. Otherwise, they'll use any twisted plot to make us pay them more for a less competent service that they can think of.
It's a monopoly.
Correct. And we get taken for a ride. So we'll discuss that a little later on with Ted. He's an energy advisor. He's very much the guy when it comes to figuring out how energy could work and should work in South Africa rather than the way that it does, which can be deeply dissatisfying to so many of us, especially when we are paying customers. You know, if you ordered a gift over the holidays and it was meant to arrive before Christmas because you were giving it to someone as a present and it never arrived, you'd never use those people again. But with Eskom, you don't have that option.
Oh, we're battered, we're bruised, and we still have to deal with them.
Yes. And sometimes sitting in the dock.
That's right.
Honestly.
Anyway, loads of people still enjoying their holidays. I see, and one of the things that I liked about social media over the holidays is I kind of only engaged in my own little bubble.
Right? Yes.
I didn't go on to Twitter or go on to the news sites or any of that stuff. I pretty much stayed away from those.
Yeah.
And it was very, very satisfying and made me feel much happier. And I felt like there was a condom between me and the world of social media. It was good.
Wow, what all imagery this media. Morning.
All it's social media imagery. Is your own little bubble. It's yeah. who you choose.
Well, I like this year. I saw your stuff because you're, you know, we're friends on Facebook and I follow you on Instagram. So I saw the people that I want to see updates, but the rest I didn't.
Okay.
And you engaged when you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, so big time.
Sometimes I was trying to explain this to friends who aren't in the industry about the fact that whether we like it or not, this is our work, which means we have to be in the know. We have to be informed. We need to know what's trending. We have to have discussions around it. So now to actually choose, like, no, I don't want to know what's happening on Facebook today. I don't want to know who's sharing what. And I blissfully just sat at home and I thought,
absolutely.
Nope.
Guys.
Not doing this
guys,
today.
You know, for me, Twitter and Facebook. So my sister said to me, we the people at the village. And I was like, well, the people at the village? Says, yeah, you know, Facebook is like the village. The things get to us on Facebook.
Oh, yes,
exactly right.
Takes like, a while
Twitter's
to
Twitter's a fast-paced city where things
the city,
happen. Yes.
And we at the village. Yes. I was like, oh, at the village then. She says, yeah, by the time things get to us, you know, they've lost a lot of their sting.
Oh, yeah.
But well, Twitter, black Twitter, South African Twitter, guys. South African Twitter needs a global award for the level of crazy
that dysfunction.
Well, look, we know we've
and
got
hilarious guys.
Yes. A lot of it is hilarious. This is the point I wanted to make, and I'm glad you've kind of given me an intro to it, because there is a lot of humor that we are very good at coming up with, even in the darkest situations.
Mm.
But my God, there are also lots of people who reveal themselves to have massive problems. Massive, massive social and psychological problems. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's so many people here who just desperately need some love.
Or just attention.
Or just a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah, I think some of them could do with some medication, frankly.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it is. So for me, it's like people watching.
Yeah.
On steroids. I love people watching. Yes.
Well, clearly, that's why you went to the beach New Year's Day. I mean, there's enough people for you to watch there and some. That's some way to
get that
start
out of your system.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, guys, the people watching on the Twitter streets is, for me, the most fascinating experience of just South Africa in its bubble. Because it's not all South Africans.
No.
It's a particular type of...
How would you describe that type?
Careful now, because you're going to end up being... They're going to come after you if you say
you
it wrong.
People, I'm not falling for your shit.
I don't know. I'm just trying to understand the way you see things. Shit. So what's that type of person?
Guys, the level of... And the clapbacks are always... I'm always there for the clapback. Mm. How people respond. And sometimes I'm just like... Oh, that escalated quickly. How did
From
you
zero
get
to 100
here?
Very quickly.
I'm like, how did you get here, sis? It's like, fab. Yeah.
I don't know if you are one of these resolution people or not. And we went into this briefly on Monday. I haven't drawn up a list of resolutions. I'm not one of those people who's going to now publish what I need to achieve this year or any of that stuff. But are you one of the people who makes up a list of things that you want to do for 2019? Are you one of those people who's made a priority selection of what your goals are for the year? Or do you ignore that stuff?
Gareth, you obviously don't know me so well.
No,
I make
I know
a
you
list
make,
every
everything.
Single day.
You make a list of everything. So what's on your list
so
for 2019?
How could I not make a list
Yeah, well, that's why I'm asking. I'm giving you the option to opt out and to say, oh, no, I would never do that. But you're showing yourself to be the OCD person that I know you are.
I make a list for everything.
What's on your list?
Take over the world. Me and Pinky
Same
and
thing
the brain.
We do every night.
Be careful of Pumi offering sweet things this year. She's after it. She's got a big goal.
This year, I turned 40.
Ooh.
Dun, okay. Da, da, da. Okay. And you're really excited for that one.
What? So we'll have a month-long celebration.
See, you're the opposite of me. When a big birthday comes along, I try to get away from it as quickly as possible. I want to go to North Korea.
Jeez.
For what?
Just to get away from it. I hate the idea of, like, I don't want that extra noise and fuss around me around my birthday. I almost every call that comes in, I'm almost like,
dreading it.
Oh.
So, and I've always been fascinated at the like 40 and fabulous crowd.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've been wondering for a couple of years now what it's all about, and I just like literally as I was doing my list for 2019, the penny dropped for me. Y'all, I'm a full-grown adult.
Yeah.
Damn.
Like, there's no turning back, no denying you,
there's
it
no
now.
Kind of being on the...
No, you can't I'm be cool of, anymore. You can't be young and cool anymore. You could be a cool 40-year-old, but you can't be young and cool anymore.
You know what?
You can't get away with calling yourself inexperienced, young, unsure, all of that stuff. Oh, by 40, you've got to have decided.
But you know what the thing about being an adult is? You decide, damn it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about... And that's why this confidence that sweeps over people. That's why, you know, you've gotten... For me, I've gotten over the social anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten over the career anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
I am squarely in that spot where I'm just like, yeah, take it or leave it, damn it. This is me.
That's fantastic.
I'm so that is my big thing. So one of my big things on my list is, what am I doing to celebrate?
Well, it's important. Sure. So that's up there on the list. Do you have particular health, wealth, life, work, and do you have categories for all these things?
They all fall into each other.
Hmm.
The other fantastic thing when I was doing the list and kind of thinking, because it's planning, right? It's kind of planning on the things I'm going to concentrate on, mm-hmm. the things I'm going to ignore, the people that I'm going to actively seek out and work with or hang out with, all of that kind of stuff. I'm big on social engineering. So even my friends list, I'll cut you out if I feel like, this guy.
Social engineering. Yeah. I like that term.
I don't like that term because it means that you could be on the one side or the other side of it.
I want to use it more. Social engineering.
Look it up as a term that already exists. It's not so pleasant.
Oh, no. Never mind.
What governments do to try and make people conform.
As soon as I typed it in, it said social engineering attacks.
Exactly.
But I feel like it's nice to just say, you know what, you really don't work for me right now. You aren't good for me.
Yeah.
It's just not working out.
You know
what benefits are you in my life?
And here's the thing about being a full-grown adult is there are statements that don't need explanations. You don't need to explain it. You don't work for me right now. I don't need to tell you why.
You don't
That's just what it is.
Yes.
I don't...
Yeah. And
you don't owe anyone an explanation.
You get
I don't have anxiety about not explaining.
And you also get better at conserving energy for the things you really care about.
Bona. Right?
That's important.
Bona.
Life rule number 39, learnt in the past 23 minutes.
Because when you're in your 20s, you spend a lot of time explaining things to yourself and to other people who really don't care about your explanation.
Because you're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You're probably trying to figure it out, and so the explanations are important, not just to you, but as a thing, you know. Mm. You kind of, now I'm just like, so what? I don't got it. I don't know. So what? Move on.
Yeah, not important enough.
What is that? The having to.
Oh God!
Look at it.
Where's the leather couch? I now need to like sit down
because I feel
like
this is a whole therapy session.
Yes. What is that? Having to explain to people, is it also the uncertainty of where you are, or the uncertainty of not knowing? Because I think that's part of it for me. I'd have to say.
And the uncertainty of what comes next.
So
if I say no, it's like amplified FOMO, right? Mm-hmm. If I say no, what if? Could it be?
Can I ask you something about FOMO? Because I have, we've discussed this a couple of times on various shows before, but there are a lot of people who are starting to join this movement of not the fear of missing out, but the joy of missing out, JOMO. People who...
I thought that was a soccer player.
You know, there are JOMO...
JOMO Sono.
JOMO is the joy of missing out. That's like when you see a bunch of people at an event that you are so glad you're not at. Or you see someone who has to go to work on the 2nd of January and you go, I don't have to, I got some JOMO. Or you think about those people who maybe they really enjoy what they're doing and for them it's their thing, but you don't. You, like, let's say I see someone who...
At the beach.
who at the beach on the 1st is not my thing. Mm. Or who does accounting for a living and they're really excited about balancing the books this year and that kind of... I'm not. I've got JOMO about that. Or people who wrangle crocodiles. I don't have any FOMO about not being around when the guy is wrangling crocodiles. I have JOMO that I'm not wrangling.
You had a lot of that feeling over the past few weeks.
Yeah. So I take active joy in not having to get involved in your crap. And lots of people are joining this movement. People are proud. Like and you don't hear about them as much because JOMO doesn't involve putting it on social media. Mm. There's no way to do that. You don't put a blank screen up when everyone else is getting drunk on New Year's Eve and you're not. You're like, I'm okay, good. This year is different to last year. I'm not going to get hammered.
Staying in over the weekend.
You don't make a noise
about
doing
anything.
So those people are underrepresented. It's like the big silent majority. They're underrepresented in social media. They're underrepresented in the news. They don't get to the office first thing in the new year and go, oh my God, you won't believe what I did. Because their thing is, oh my God, you won't believe what I didn't do. And no one says that at the office, right? So the JOMO people are a big crowd. If you're among those JOMO people, I am here for you.
Do you have that feeling?
Pumi gets JOMO. I know she does.
Dude, I'm still in the oxymoron of joy of missing out, but that's okay, right? That's But it is also, isn't it like a little bit like a pendulum, right?
Yes, tell me.
Things swing between two things. There's a huge euphoria about a particular thing and lots of people amass around that. And then it saturates and then it moves all the way to the other end. And I think it's in that spectrum of people kind of going, I've had enough. I'm overstimulated. You know how like when you've been overstimulated and you just want to kind of get home and take a shower.
For example, I think Americans are feeling overstimulated by Donald Trump, for example. I think they're running out of, like, you know how you've been in a show. It's a great show, but it's been on for 2 hours and now it's enough. You know how you watch a great movie, but it's 2.5-3 hours long and you're like, my ass is sore now. I'm out of here.
Too much, can't do this. I mean, want to tap out.
Or you go to a great party and you're with great people and you're having the time of your life and it's all just fantastic.
And then it saturates. You get to a point where you're like, okay.
If I leave now, I'm peaking at the right moment.
I'm filled up with the joy of all of this thing. And now I'm... And I think
that's a thing that that's a thing you only get though with what you were talking about earlier.
Kind of coming into your own.
Yeah, getting comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Because some people chase that high and they chase that high. That's why I said to someone the other day because we were talking about, you know how pot's legal and I think that's great and you know you could take any drugs you want in some parts of the world today and that's good too because people are going to whether the government wants them to or not, and they'll find illegal ways of doing it, and there can be dangers involved in that. But I really think that if you try stuff like that later in life, it's probably a lot better for you because you're unlikely to be addicted. You're not going to chase the next high. You're going to want to experience something, and then you'll move on. If you like it, you might go back again, but it's in your 20s, you keep chasing the high. You keep staying until the end of the party.
Until the sun is
dry. Yeah. And I don't know if I want to do that anymore. I think it's.
But you've got to saturate. You've got to saturate. I promise you. Like I remember the staggering out at daybreak of clubs. You're driving home, and the sun's in your eyes, and
you might still be
tired,
in a really good mood at that point. But trust me, like 5 hours from now, you're gonna feel like shit.
But when you have done. But also when you've done that, that's why you kind of have to do it. You have to do it in its time and space, right? When you're 40 and doing that, it's a little bit hard on your body and your liver.
Yes.
But when you're 20 and doing that, when you're 22 and doing that, you still have it. You still have all of the energy to do that. But when you have done enough of it
and gotten it out of your system,
you saturate. You don't feel like you're missing anything.
Do you have some friends who are still stuck in that phase though?
Oh yeah, I love
who
them.
Are still loving.
No, I love them.
Still
I mean,
living like
sure. Those are the people. Those are the people you invite to a party. You know they're going to keep it going. Because there's some of my friends who I know if I invite them to a party, they're going to be leaving at 10.
And you go, well,
no, it's okay.
Party right, over at 10:30.
Sadly, I think I'm that friend. No,
who does what? Who leaves at 10:30 or who's there until 2?
Who's there?
Are you kidding? I've seen her let loose. Please, she's protesting too much.
Oh, I actually like that because I saw you trying to think of who is that in my circle. Oh, yeah. I'm that person.
All right, well, there's lots to talk about this morning. I want to keep us on track because we've got a busy day ahead. It is 6:30. Here are the 5 things you need to know today. If anyone asks you about what's in the news, then all you need to know is these 5 things, and it'll sort them out. They'll go, oh my God, you're so well informed.
You're in the know. Right.
First thing, you know that the Dross rapist?
Yes.
I hate to even...
Dross rapist.
Yeah, I mean, his name is Nicholas Nino, but... I didn't know that. I had to remind myself. I thought, wait, is he the director general of some department? Nicholas Nino is the Dross rapist. He's that horrible human being, that deplorable creature who raped that little girl, 7-year-old girl, at a Dross restaurant in Pretoria. He is going to spend a month at the psychiatric hospital called Weskoppies in sort of Gauteng. The National Prosecuting Authority says that the bag of white powder found on him during his arrests have been identified as cat.
Jeez.
Again, we don't know the depth and the breadth of the problem in this country, but I reckon so much of what we are dealing with in crime has to do with drugs. And And again, I'm not one of these people who's massively anti-drugs. I think people who are going to take them are going to take them. Some people who are good are going to remain good whether they take drugs or not. Some people who are bad are going to remain bad whether they're on drugs or not. We have criminals who have never touched drugs in their life, and we have criminals who are addicted. But I think a lot of the opportunistic crime in this country and a lot of the awful things that happen to people on a daily basis, like domestic violence and all that kind of thing, could be assuaged by less dependence on substances. And this guy, clearly by being on cat at the time that he is supposed to have committed this hideous crime, that does not help his case. It does not make anybody even a little bit more sympathetic to him. And it's something worth considering, and we'll come into the discussion, I'm sure, as the trial goes forward.
Is today the day with the conspiracy theories?
Go on. What's your conspiracy? Go on. Let's hear it. What's your conspiracy? Let's have it.
No, it's so the thing about drugs and South Africa and how quickly it's kind of spread. And if you look at it and contrast it to how in America in the 70s, in end of the 60s and 70s, how the spread of drugs was initially controlled in particular areas, African-American areas.
Mm-hmm.
And how, if you look at the drug problems in South Africa,
yeah,
and the areas in which they started and spread, there is a case to be made around when the old South African government could no longer contain. And
so you mean they let the drugs loose in certain areas?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have you heard of 13th by Ava DuVernay?
I hear you, but okay. So this guy's as far as I can tell, this Nicholas Nino is like he's like a poor white. Okay.
And this is precisely the point. Sure. Because you're not going to to contain it in a particular area. You start out with a socioeconomic dimension.
That's interesting.
Which will spread unintended consequence.
But this is, I mean, at the fall of the apartheid era, we're talking like he wasn't even born yet, because he's in his 20 years old.
Yeah.
But
so I hear you, but then there's the other question. I mean, like the Cape Flats are notorious for tick and drugs like that. And then there's the other side of this, the socioeconomic part of it, which is where the rich people are doing the drugs too. They're doing the recreational stuff and they're doing the cocaine.
They ain't doing cat.
No, they're not doing cat. But you understand my point. Like there's that conspiracy too.
Absolutely.
I think this is worth pursuing. All right, Pumi, put your thesis together. Let's hear it.
In the words of the great Whitney Houston, that's cheap. That's a cheap drug.
No, Whitney Houston. That. Whitney Houston, who, let's remind ourselves, drowned in her bar.
Except also the horror, the shock horror that I had when Whitney Houston, because I was like, Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, they're going to be doing the good stuff, right?
They were on doing drugs. They're terrible stuff.
Dude, they were doing Yaupe. No.
All right. Other news, because we've got to move through this. You know that fire on the west coast in Cape Town, big problem in the Coburg area. Apparently on a farm that is right alongside the Coburg nuclear reactor on the R27 along the west coast. They've managed to contain that fire, which is a good thing. We don't want fire plus nuclear reactor. That's usually a very bad sign. Firefighters early on Wednesday reported that the felt fire on a farm adjacent to the Coburg nuclear power station had been put out. No danger to traffic or the surroundings, but authorities are remaining on the scene to monitor the situation. So if you were worried about that, there we go.
Thank goodness.
Some resolution. Solim Simanga, who is the mayor of Tshwane, has visited the Klipspruit West Secondary School south of Johannesburg to find out the problems that they face. Apparently, the quality of education there is terrible. They are dealing with a lot. I don't know why Solim Simanga has been dispatched
far out
to the south of Johannesburg, but let's just put that besides. Maybe he's the only competent person left in the DA.
It's an election year, Baba. It's
an election year. Gotta do what you gotta do.
The reason he went to that school is because it's the worst performing school. They achieved a matric pass rate of just over 24%, which is horrendous. With a tavern directly opposite the school, Simanga said more needs to be done to tackle what we were just talking about, substance abuse. It doesn't become a conducive environment when you have kids that are high mixing with kids that are trying to concentrate in the class. So those things are going to be looked at. We are asking for random drug and alcohol tests at that school. So Solim Simanga getting stuck in the first proper week of January. And then there are people talking about these train arsonists in the Western Cape. You know, there are they've got this dedicated Cape Town Rail Enforcement Unit, which is a specific force that has been established to make sure that trains are not set on fire, that are not vandalized, because obviously this affects tens of thousands of people every single day. There are people who just need to get to work, and the train is sometimes the most effective way to do that. Trains all over the world are effective. In South Africa, we tend to look at trains and we tend to think, oh, well, you know, that that only affects a certain stratum of people in society. In London, you see rich and poor using the train. In New York, you see rich and poor using the train. Everybody uses trains because they get you there quicker. But in South Africa, we have this huge problem where we also have the competition between the trains and the taxis, and there could be something about that that is fueling these arson attacks. They're saying that 100 officers were deployed in October last year, and in the first 2 months, 36 arrests were executed for assault, drug possession, robbery, malicious damage to property, and theft.
You know, you're talking about the trains and the fires. A couple of days ago, there was that accident.
Yeah.
Near your hometown.
Two trains that collided.
Trains that collided, which is a devastating state of affairs. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be said about that. But I was shocked and horrified at News 24, I'm going to name and shame.
Go on.
Whose first article about that was not about the lives lost, not about the mayhem and chaos, was about the cost, the rands and cents
tasteless
of that crash. I was so horrified. I was like, what is going on with these people?
Surprised with News 24? Are you
really
surprised?
What is going on with these people? Is it so important to them that it's going to cost 20 million that there has been this train crash? Instead of having a human conversation around what
300 people were injured in that accident.
You know what I'm saying? People died in that accident, and but all you're telling me is you're telling me it's going to cost the taxpayer 20 million rand.
It's just crass.
Disgusted.
Well, there we go. Pumi's first proper disgust for 2019.
That's snaps right. Fingers in a Z formation.
Yeah, I'll be muting News 24.
Well, go ahead, because I promise you it's part of the reason you get upset, and you don't need to get upset.
Add it to muting R. Kelly, too.
Oh, my God.
That's a story for another day.
That is its own emotional conversation. We have to talk about R. Kelly.
What a creep, this R. Kelly. And there's another episode of that. That documentary that they've done about him coming out this week.
I have not seen the documentary.
Jesus.
I've been trying to get over. So we all know that it's going to be a trigger warning to all feminists. And there's a guy, and I will remember his name sometime. This is the other thing about being hoarding for good people.
The memory just... remembering things.
If it makes you feel better, some people are really bad at remembering names, no matter what age they are.
Who has been writing and trying to expose R. Kelly for a good 20 years. Yeah. He's built his career. He
and
used
no
to
one's
work
listened
for Rolling Stone. Yeah. And for a long time, there was chatter around, why is this guy so invested in bringing down R. Kelly in this manner? So that's the one thing. But and the trigger warnings for all women, I suppose, around all of this. But my God, to think back at the fact that when you think about R. Kelly songs, and R. Kelly was like...
I believe I can fly.
Not even. You know the R&B. Do you know what that... When you are like
rhythm,
a 90s kid, baby.
Sure.
When you are a 90s kid, there is not a playlist that takes you back that does not involve R. Kelly in one way or another. And one of the things that I've had to come to strong terms with over the years is, Jesus, this guy is a horrendous person. And to find a link between how do I not enable this horrendous person by supporting his music, no matter how much I love it, no matter how much when that beat drops, you want to like...
Oh, come on.
Tag
Listen,
along.
Pumi, you can't... But you're trying to be a purist here.
No, you're not being a purist. But what you must do is you must confront yourself. And the fact that even
just
as you
like a song doesn't mean you support a monster.
So,
I like Michael Jackson's songs. We know what kind of a creep he was.
But, right, every single time, so today, every single time You play that music because of the way that the music industry is.
Yeah.
You add 3 cents to his empire.
So what?
No, so no.
Because you know what? He's going to have to spend so much more on legal fees anyway. Because this guy is just, he's being revealed as the creep.
And the problem with legal
fees and
power.
Can't you separate that stuff?
And the problem with legal fees and power is for as long as you feed that empire, for as long as he has the money to fight the system, then he will never have to serve the justice.
Yeah, but I'm not here to dispense. I'm just a person who's absorbing or not absorbing certain content. I mean, I like Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. I don't support that creep. He's a creep too. I like Bill Cosby's comedy in the 80s when it was still funny.
You liked it then.
Yes, and he was still raping women then. The difference though
is that today when you seek out that content.
Oh, right? No, I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, but that.
But the thing with music is unlike 80s comedy where you have to go and look for it. The thing is, you have it in your playlist, it comes up on, you know what I'm saying? It's an ongoing relationship that you have with this individual and their money. Starve them. Starve them. Close the tab.
Did you see what happened when this documentary came out? He made more money because people went out and bought more of his stuff.
Another one of my
favorite... So people are psychopaths.
One of my favorite Twitter clapbacks, and now it's one of the famous American, I think an actress.
Yeah.
I think an actress, when they asked her, what do you think? What do you make? Because Jada Pinkett did a thing about, oh my God, his music downloads have gone up and whatever. Yeah. Favorite clapback, a musician always makes more money immediately after their death.
Yeah, but notoriety.
So it's going to go down.
Notoriety is also a big winner. I mean, you've seen that happen too. And there are groups of people who write to prisoners, and there are groups of people who fall in love with bad people. No, seriously, attention has a funny way, even if it's bad attention for bad reasons, of making the person who's getting the attention that much wealthier.
Oh, but I love the fact that it has brought this conversation down to that immediate personal level for each individual person. Because of that, because of the relationship between the, I really like this music, I really like what this guy has put out into the world, but look at what this guy is, and having to reassess our own lives and our own selves and what we forget about people, what we go, he's a nice guy, but you know, I don't like the way he speaks to his wife. You know what I'm saying? You have to reassess it.
Yeah, but you look, what are you looking for? Moral purity. And I don't believe that exists. I think I can enjoy an R. Kelly song without being party to his bad behavior. I don't
condone it.
I don't endorse the whole human being. I mean, I don't know, for example, when you close the doors, when you go home, what you do that might be good or bad. But the person that I do know, I like. And the product you produce is what I want.
So now the difference is when you listen to that music and you listen to those lyrics, you're now going,
Yeah, like, I believe I can fly R. Kelly is one thing. Then when he started having Chocolate
Your
Factory and
calling.
Black panties and whatnot.
Black panties.
Yeah. I think that was the name of his... Yeah. One of his recent albums.
All right, listen, we've got to wrap up the news part this morning. We've got lots of other stuff to get to. Let's turn our attention, cryptocurrency, in case you want to know, $4,071 for Bitcoin, $152 for Ethereum, if anyone still has any of that and cares, because the numbers are very, very small now. But here's Sia with Said by Sia. What do you got for us to inspire us this morning, Sia?
Oh, man. I saw this story on my timeline a few days ago from a particular account I follow on Instagram, and I thought, it's one of those too good to be true things. So I started doing research. This was the headline that I saw. An Indian father fills 556 potholes after his son dies from a pothole-related accident. And I thought, what is going on? This is so like nice and it's so admirable. Like, what is going on? But it is all true. And I think it's so incredible. His name is Dadaro Bilhor. And he lives in Dadaro Bilhor. Let me not emphasize the H in Bilhor, but rather Bilhor. There you go. And he lives in Mumbai. And it is quite a tragic story. But back in 2015, his 16-year-old son was riding on a scooter. And because of the potholes all over the road, got involved in an accident and died from that. And he made a vow to himself personally to say, from what I'm experiencing, I never want any other parent to ever go through this. Oh. And so he vowed to say, I'm going to do what I can in amending the situation. And he's tried to speak to the government there, and he tries to make things happen. And up until he really just gave up. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take this upon myself. So from December of 2015 to the last count was just late last year, he's filled 556 potholes all by himself. And particularly, there were great floods around India in mid-2018, which sort of derailed him a bit, but he still stayed committed to that cause. Imagine what sort of conviction and determination you need to keep on going. But for him, his intention is all the same. What he had to go through, he describes his son's death as something so senseless. So he says he wants to make sure that no one ever has to experience that. So talk about really an amazing hero and an amazing father. And what a selfless human being doing all of this on his own accord. Didaro Bilor, that's what said by Sia for this morning.
Nice.
Really think it's incredible.
Did you really have to bring the onions to tell that story?
I mean, he's just filling up potholes and he's filling up hearts.
Stop it.
I really don't love this.
Hey, can I tell you something inspiring that I heard the other day? If you feel like you don't matter in the world, somewhere, right now, someone, some human, is making the biggest poo ever known for that day.
What? Okay, Gareth.
And it might be you. So if you're having a really tough day and you're struggling, someone out there is taking the world's greatest dump right now.
You know,
and it could be you.
That's another
you might be
form
the,
of inspiration.
You might be the winner.
I don't want to make a thing of this, actually.
Listen, that's one of those things. One of those horrible things I saw on social media. All right.
Is this what you let into your bubble?
No.
Yeah, you were talking about your social media bubble.
This escaped into the bubble by mistake. It was not a choice thing, trust me. All right, loads of news. The Burning Platform coming up with Nando's, and that is Canton Pile and Pumi Mashiko this morning sharing some of the stories that are going on in South African politics and society. It's the only bit of serious news we do every week, you know. Give me a break.
How, guys, you called me here for the serious news.
Well, we also called you here for other reasons.
Yes, for your 40 and fabulous year that you're about to get into.
Oh yeah.
I know what's going to happen just now, and I'm nervous about this because Canton comes in and he always goes, "Can I please have a decent cup of coffee?"
Mm-hmm.
So what I've done, I've got one of those Nespresso machines in my office, right? Haven't used it for a while. Do you know how to use them?
Sort of, kind of.
Gareth, is that what you're doing? Is that where the good coffee is? In your office?
Well, no, I brought it in especially for Canton because now he's going to go and help himself to a cup of brown. I saw you brought your own this morning.
I was a step ahead of you there. Yeah, we have a filter coffee situation.
Thank God, right.
Yeah. I had that sorted.
I don't know how to use the. It's I haven't already used brewing. The Nespresso thing for ages, but I filled it up and I cleaned it on Monday and I got it ready because I know that Canton wanted decent coffee, and I felt very bad about the fact that we only have a cup of brown because we've got this instant. Yeah,
Jesus. That is actually so funny bad. Because while I was speaking to Canton on Monday, I actually had to reassure him. I actually had to send him a photo. Like, hi, we do have a machine. You'll be fine on Thursday. That's his one. He had two terms and conditions. He said the first was the coffee. Then, in his own words, is my partner in crime going to be there, referring to Sis Pumi. So
I think, the partner in crime.
Yes. We've checked two things on that list.
Guys,
okay.
He I has don't know that. How I feel about
Are you happy
this?
With the coffee?
Oh, no.
No, the stuff stinks.
Oh, no, okay. We failed.
See, we tried.
We have a backup plan.
Okay. I have an espresso machine, which I'll go and load up right now.
Yeah.
That we'll figure out. Jesus, I hope I can do this. Uh-oh. You know how to use it? Because then I can definitely give you the control.
I certainly do, yeah.
All right, there we go.
Dude, I came prepared.
Mm.
The other problem is that us, Jane, who is in charge of this place and runs everything to do with our office, she is not here today. She's on like 2 days of leave because she has to get
is
her kids.
Is mama? No.
Well, no, she has to get her kids ready for school. And you know what an ordeal that is. Yesterday was the first day of school for many people in South Africa. The private schools go back, what, next week?
Mm.
So a lot of people are thinking about that.
A little
bit more traffic today.
I think it's like
today.
Three-term schools. I don't know. I think it's the three-term schools that go back next week.
Is three-term schools the new euphemism for private schools?
A man.
It just sounds, you know, you don't want to. piece
I'm
of
sorry.
August
Are you
to
at
everyone.
A three-term school?
It's a three.
Are you at a three or a four-term school? What is? Are you saying that that's the new term for a?
No, I'm just saying that the schools that have three terms
in their calendar year.
I think there are private schools with four terms, baby. Mm-hmm. I think it's a thing.
Okay.
All right. We'll Smart find out. Fancy. I don't know anything about this. I don't have kids that I know of.
Ah, yeah, you don't do that. Don't even go down that road.
No, that's the truth.
Gareth.
Yes.
Gareth.
Yes.
I will discipline you if you are those people.
I've watched a lot of movies. I told you I watched Bird Box yesterday.
Yes.
What did you think?
Waste of my time, really.
Have you watched it?
Jesus.
Of course I watched
it. That is 120 minutes I'll never get back. But you know what? I had to see it because everyone was talking about it, and I felt like I was not going to be able to have conversations with a whole swathe of humans if I didn't. And I thought, how bad could it be if it became such a big trend? There's got to be some value in it. Well, there isn't. Don't watch it.
Yeah, have you seen Bandersnatch?
No, what's that?
I haven't
that,
even
Doc?
Heard of that.
What?
Oh, hang on. That's a choose your own ending thing.
Believe, like yes. A James Hadley Chase.
Have you done it? Have you done it?
See us going, what the hell is James Hadley Chase?
The Black Mirror, Black Mirror movie.
The Black
Mirror.
Okay. So what happens is that people who used to read those books where you'd start the book and your character walks into a bar, for example, and it says, if you want to drink a vodka, turn to page 14. Mm. If you decide to have coffee, turn to page 212. And then your story develops and you can go. You basically jump around the book and eventually you create your own story, right? Sometimes there are dead ends. Sometimes there's the big ending that you were hoping for. But it really makes you feel like you're choosing how the story will develop. And apparently this Bandersnatch is exactly that. It's like a choose your own story.
Ending.
And there, I've heard people saying that there could be millions of endings. Is that true?
How's that possible?
Surely there's a limited number of... No, surely there's a limited number of...
Yeah, so there is a limited number. Look, I think it's only as limited as your budget will allow.
Yeah.
And also how... Because if you think about it practically, you have to shoot every one of those
streams. Right, exactly.
Streams.
That's why I'm thinking it's complete nonsense.
You kind of have to send people down a particular path, and then you have to make each one of those a compelling story anyway, right? So you've created four films essentially within that one film.
And how are you experiencing this as a viewer? So is it different episode?
You know how like in
you fast forward?
No, you know how it says pick scene when you... Like we used to do with DVDs.
Oh, okay. You've actually experienced this now. You've done it.
So what comes up on your screen is, you know, pick A or B. So
clever.
You pick one
That's
of the
clever.
Two, and it takes you on a particular path.
Yeah, well, I have to say it is quite
smart. So you've done
smart.
That, and it's worth trying.
So I started, and then, you know, this is the thing about entertaining kids.
Yeah.
It's also you have to do certain things in certain time periods when they're sleeping, which also means some you're also tired. You know, you've had a long day.
Yeah.
So I'm actually waiting for that day. When the little thing has gone back to school, and then I can...
The little thing that is hearing you say
He's
that.
He's sitting outside
right
listening
now.
To you. All right, it's 5 minutes to seven. When we come back, the first of 2019's Burning Platforms, brought to you by Nando's with Pumi Mashiko and Canton Pillay. It's going to be on fire like the last one was. Let's get your day off to a good start, shall we?
You better not oil that pressure.
I know. CliffCentral.com. Let's go, baby. You ready to get stuck into the new year?
This is CliffCentral.com.